Welcome back, Paul Allen. Very happy recently to be joined by Vikings offensive coordinator Gary Kubiak. Ben Lieber and I had the opportunity to chat with Vikings offensive coordinator Gary Kubiak about a myriad draft and Vikings-related scenarios, obviously most involving the offense. And when we ran down Gary, who's been to like a million combines and won a bunch of Super Bowls, we began wondering, Gary, what exactly at the combine in Indianapolis, what are some things you look to achieve and like what do you pull from it?
You know, Paul, in all the honesty, when I come here, I probably know a little about a lot of players, you know what I mean? Because we just came out of our season, evaluated ourselves. Rick's presented all these college guys to us, so we kind of get an idea about, you know, a little idea about a lot of guys, and we come here and start to build on what we know, you know. So it's a very good process. Really sitting down with the kids at night probably is something I cherish more than anything. And also it's a chance to see some coaches that you only see once a year. You know, it's kind of, I guess you'd say, our convention, so to speak. So a lot of things done.
So in your vast history coaching in the NFL, when you compare college tape and what you see for the draft compared to the meetings and the drills and everything, the tape still matters most, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and what I try to do is I watch a lot of offensive football players the last 2 weeks so that I would know when I start to see these guys this week, know a little bit about them, watch them work out, get to know more, get in front of them with the coaches, interview them, learn even more about them. So you just start to build on everything you know about a player, and by the time you get to draft day, you should know them as well as you can know them.
You know, when it comes to evaluating some of these guys on tape, you've seen a lot of football, even a lot of great players that maybe don't become great NFL players, and then conversely, some average college players become great NFL players. Is there something that you can get from the tape that sort of, in a nutshell, says like, okay, that guy has the potential, whether it's footwork, whether it's effort, whether it's hand placement, fundamentals, like, is there something you can narrow down that makes it a little bit easier for yourself?
Yeah, I think there are things that flash, man. You know, like I said, watching a little bit on each guy these past few weeks, certain guys would flash on me, and then I'd go look at maybe a grade they may have on him early or the projections on a kid, and I said, well, I'm really interested in checking him out more because he looks like a lot better player than that to me, so to speak. So I think one of the joys about this business is finding that guy who maybe somebody says is a fifth, sixth, seventh round pick or a free agent, saying, I think he's better than that, you know, and being able to stand up in front of the scouting department and say, hey, let's get a chance. I think he'll help us win.
Well, was that, you know, to that point, Gary, was that kind of Alexander Mattison last year? I'm not a big mock draft guy, so I don't care where they say a guy's going to go. I want to see where you take him. You know, but a lot of people were like, Mattison, probably not in the third round. You took him in the third round, and I know you like him.
Yeah, you got to give KP the credit there. You know, every time we got together, KP talked about this kid and what he thought, you know, he could be, and got to know him really, really well through this process. So KP banged the door, you know, for him throughout the entire process. For me, I guess a good example for me would have been Olabisi a little bit. I liked him as a player. He was down the line. He kind of grew on me as things went. But I thought we had an excellent draft on the offensive side of the ball last year. We got some young guys there, you know, Bradbury, all these guys that are going to play for us for a long time.
You know, when it comes to the interview process, I know you're going to have some late interviews tonight, but that's talking to a lot of people. That's the best opportunity here at the Combine to sit down face-to-face with these guys and ask them sometimes some tough questions. When do you know your BS meter sort of goes off and realizes that, all right, this guy's just being coached up on what to say versus an authentic answer?
Well, I guess I'd answer that by saying we know a little bit about the kid before we go in the room. So, you know, you sit there and Rick asks him a lot of questions about his background and his, you know, his career growing up. We start to ask football questions, you know, talk to us about this coverage or call this play. Let's watch your film. Now you call the play and tell me what's going on here. So, you know, I think throughout the process you really get to know what they know and, you know, what type of people they are when they converse with you, you know, sit there for 20 minutes. So it's a very good process that goes very in-depth, you know, over a period of time. So you just kind of got to pay attention throughout that process.
You know, going back to sort of the on-the-field tape that you watch outside of the interviews, when it comes to there are some guys in the draft inevitably that are small school guys, mm-hmm. Division II, Division III. I mean, heck, there's an offensive lineman that you know is right outside Minneapolis at a really small school. How do you gauge the level of competition with the skill set that you see?
Yeah, that's the hard part, you know. But I think if you play the game well, you know, you kind of project, and hey, this kid's going to keep playing well. It's like you said today, you watch kids from Ohio State walk across that stage, Florida State, you know, Clemson, Alabama, and then here comes a kid from St. John's, you know, that the offensive lineman today. So, but, you know, I think you root for him more than anything. You see a kid and you say he's got the size to play. You know, he's a bright kid. Obviously, it's a big jump for him, but you root for him, you know. So hopefully there'll be some good gems come out of that for us.
With Gary Kubiak, Vikings offensive coordinator from the Combine, 9 to noon and Vikings.com. With offensive linemen, the way the college game is constructed these days, Gary, how do you translate from the film an offensive lineman you think will work in the NFL?
I think the hardest part is really just watching guys come off the ball and knock people off the ball, because there's so much spread in college football now and throwing the football. So that is a projection. But, you know, if you're a good athlete and you play with a stinger, so to speak, you're a guy that's got a good chip on his shoulder and plays very aggressive, I think we can always help him make that jump.
What did you like about rookie Garrett Bradbury in his first year?
Well, you know what? You sat in a room with him. He was one of our formal interviews. It took about 2 minutes to watch this guy just totally command a room, totally in control of what's going on. He watched his film. He explained everything to us. He didn't just tell us what he was doing. He told us what the other 10 guys, the quarterback as well, was supposed to be doing. So he was just very impressive as a player, but as a person.
You know, one of the guys we just sort of slide over to the right side a little bit of the offensive line is Josh Klein. You know, as we talk about, you know, potential changes and upgrades and on the whole team, you talk about the offensive line, and you really look back at the season, like, we didn't call his name very much, you know, and I know that's how offensive linemen want to be. They want to be anonymous, but how do you assess his play this year?
No, man, he played really well for us and very consistent. Like you say, usually up front, if you're not talking about the guy much, he's playing pretty well. But go back, he missed a few games. And a couple of those games he missed, we missed him. So not only as a player, but as a leader, he's been around winning in you know, pro football ever since he's been a part of it. And he fit very well with our guys.
If for whatever the reason you needed to ponder playing Brian O'Neill at left tackle, is that a possibility? Or do you just love him doing what he's doing now because he does it so well?
Well, I think the most important thing right now is we take what we're doing right now and try to get better at it, Paul. You know, I mean, obviously Brian's got talent to play anywhere. I mean, you watch him run out of the tunnel on Sunday. He looks like a wide receiver. He's so athletic. So we feel very good about the group of guys we have up front. We just need to go get better at what we do, build off of what we do, and just try to continue to improve.
You know, I know every year sort of rests on its own as far as the way offense and defensive systems look and how you're going to utilize certain players, but you know, we're still a team, you know, from last year that uses fullbacks. And yeah. I think we all, you know, locally love a guy like C.J. Ham and what he's been through. But, you know, he's another guy, hopefully, you know, within your system, as you call the plays and the offense, that he's going to be a big part of that.
Yeah, I think the world of C.J. I think he played about 37% of the time for us, which in today's NFL you would say that's pretty high. But I think he can play more. I mean, that's the type of player I think that he is. Not only plays well on special teams, but CJ has good hands. A few times he touched the ball last year, good things happen. Very excited. Hopefully we get him back. I know it's a big part, big time in his career, but he's a big part of our work going forward.
Your son Clint is quarterback's coach for the Vikings. Does he aspire one day to become an offensive coordinator, and how close do you think he is?
Yeah, Paul, I think he definitely does. I mean, if you're working and you're putting in a time as a coach, you know, got to want to climb that ladder and do those type of things. So I don't think Clint's any different. I'd let him answer that probably for himself. But he's working really well, did a good job with Kirk, does a good job with the staff. He puts in the time to help a player and help him succeed. And, you know, I'm proud of his work. You know, I know him as dad, but he's got a job to do, and he's doing a very good job.
Your son's work in football, and, you know, you've been in it for multiple decades. As a dad and as a professional, how difficult was it or can it be balancing all the hours that go into coaching and winning and being a dad?
I think you better have a good wife. You know, that's the key, Paul. So Rhonda's done a great job. But, no, my kids grew up around it. They were in locker rooms their whole life. And, you know, they've all kind of chosen their direction and what they're doing. One of them's a scout. One of them's a high school coach down at Straight Jesuit in Houston. But, you know, I think we all choose our path in life. I think sometimes it's actually hard on some of these kids that grow up under guys who've been coaching for a long, long time, but they got to find their way, and I would say their mother did a hell of a job with them, helping them get started.
You know, one other I will say one other follow-up to that is my dad was my high school principal, so I kind of understand how it goes sometimes when, you know, you got dad at school or at work, and you know, you just it makes you just kind of sit up straight a little bit more often. So I understand how that dynamic can be sometimes. I wanted to ask you about Irv Smith. You know, he got an opportunity in that last game with Kyle sitting out, and all of a sudden now, and you've seen this probably time and time again, where a player gets called upon and he gets moved up to be, you know, RB1 or tight end one or whoever. It seemed like he found another gear in that game. You know, it seemed like he played with a little bit more reckless abandon.
You know, if you go back and look at our season, we got away from, we weren't a three wide receiver football team. You know, obviously when we lost Beebs and we were young, we lost Adam for a period of time. Irv did a great job for us. So our three wides, Irv was our third wide, you know, the way we went about things. But Irv has a very bright future. He's very competitive. He's very confident in his ability. I think the sky's the limit for him. He can move around, do a lot of things, kind of like CJ does a lot of things for us. So I'm very excited for Irv's growth. Usually these guys will make their biggest jump from year one to two, and I think he's already made a jump. So let's see what happens.
A couple of quickies to close for Gary Kubiak, Vikings offensive coordinator. For my taste, Kirk Cousins is coming off the best season of his career, and clearly the offense is conducive mostly to the way he wants to play, obviously when protected. So with the step he took from his first year here to last year with you and Kevin, what are some things you'll be looking for as the next step into 2020 for Cousins?
Well, I've said this, Paul, a couple of weeks ago. I think he's in the prime of his career. I really do. And Kirk's a very bright young man. He understands system-wise exactly what we want to do. He did it with Coach Shanahan before. You know, we build on that now. Kevin did a great job with him, and that's one of the reasons Kevin's in Cleveland, the great job he did with Kirk. But we'll grow. I'll sit down with Kirk. We'll get started here in about a month and grow off of some of the things we've done this past year, and yet, you know, try to push forward with that. But Kirk does his part. He works extremely hard. He's very competitive. He went on the road. He won a big playoff game. That's hard to do in this business. So I think there's been steps of growth there. So let's see if we can go take another one.
You know, one of the big facets of his game, and you guys obviously utilized that this last year, was just getting him outside the pocket. Yeah. He really seemed to thrive, even though sometimes from the quarterback position, you are cutting off half the field, and it's just a half-field read. But I thought was really impressive, he's not probably known as a super athletic guy, but whenever he rolled out to the left, he was able to flip his hips really nicely and get the ball down the field. When did you guys see that was actually a nice, viable possibility to get him rolling out counter to his right hand?
Well, you know, Ben, in our business, there's a place called the spot, you know, and you've got to get your quarterback off of that spot. You know, it's 7.5 yards right behind the center, and you've got to get him off that spot or people can come get him. But he's proven he has the ability to go both ways from a standpoint of booting and moving and throwing, so that's a big plus. But I think it starts with running the ball. If you can run the ball well, you can move your quarterback. So it'll still start that way with us, but hopefully we can grow with some of the things Kirk's been able to do.
From what you know now, Gary, obviously with more work to do, meetings and everything, do you like the wide receivers in this draft? People say it's a super deep draft for receivers. Do you like them?
I would agree with that. What little bit I've seen, you know, that's really what I concentrated on last week before I came here. But some good-looking young players. Hopefully, we can add to our group. We've got some good young guys on our team that not many people know much about. You know, that were on the practice squad, that were doing a good job. So hopefully, those guys make a big jump and we add to it.